Don't seek your own worth by how people judge you or how the world respects you or disrespects you. Your value, your great value, is based on the price that was paid for you and the God who loved you enough to give his Son, and the Son who loved you enough to go to the cross, and the Spirit who loved you enough to come and point you to the cross, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the kind of love that brings fullness into your life and heart today. Let's pray together that this communion, have you sung the songs on the agenda? Let's pray today that God will cause this communion to be one of those very special times when we not only throw off some yokes, if they're still upon us, or we talk about yokes that have been broken through his redemptive love, but we take on a yoke. This is an exchange of yokes. It's not going completely free in the sense of having no accountability or responsibility. It's just getting free from the slavery of sin, the slavery of Satan, the slavery of self, but it's not being free from serving God. Can you say amen? I think that's the missing element in so many preachings and teachings and discourses about salvation, is that we still have a yoke, amen, but it's the right yoke, and it's a yoke that causes our yoke to be easy and our burden to be light. Can you say amen? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. It's a beautiful day. We thank you for these that love enough to attend. We thank you, Father, for the God who loved enough to send his Son. We thank you, Jesus, for hanging for 6 long hours after one of the worst beatings a man could ever have inflicted and still live through it, and then have to go through the ordeal of the cross. Lord, we thank you for all of those sufferings that you suffered for our sake. And Father, we just praise you today in this communion. It is to honor you, and it's to remember, Lord, and to have the first love rekindled in our heart. And I pray, Lord, if there are those in here that haven't cast off any yokes, today will be the day when we cast them off. And if there be those of us here that haven't taken your yoke upon us, that we will find it in our heart, Lord, that you are worthy to serve to that degree of dedication. We'll be careful to give you the praise and honor, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. Praise the Lord. We want to thank you for your giving this morning. I'm going to ask someone, Brother Josh, if you would pass the offering tray today. You can be our offering receiver. Amen. I think you did that last week, and he's got a great smile on his face, big as he is. He's not intimidating you for an offering. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, yes, he is. Praise God. Well, he isn't to me, because I know inside he's got a good heart, inside that big muscular frame of his. Amen. But we're grateful today so much for being able to share this communion with you. You know what Jesus said? He said, I have longed, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, which came to be known later as the Last Supper, the Eucharist, the communion. This is what he said. He said, I've longed to share this meal with you, amen, before I suffer. Isn't that incredible? That even knowing what was coming, knowing what lay ahead, he wanted to be with his followers. He wanted to share intimacy with them. He wanted to be giving of himself to them and for them before the ultimate sacrifice of the cross. And he said, you know something? If there's one thing I want to do before I suffer, before I'm taken from you, before, he said, I'm not going to drink this cup with you anymore until we do it in the New Jerusalem, in the kingdom to come. Amen. Physically here upon the earth, I won't do that with you. Thank God he does come spiritually to do that with us. He said, I'm not going to eat of this with you, amen, until I come in my kingdom. I'm not going to drink of the cup till I come in my kingdom, amen. But before I suffer, I want to share this intimate communion with you. And I want to institute something that you're to do every time you do it. I want you to remember me and how much I loved you. Can you say amen? Don't you think that after the cross and after they understood that it was a symbol of victory and not defeat, don't you think it warmed their hearts to rehearse the words of Jesus at that Last Supper, who said, you know, I'm going to the cross, I'm going to suffer and die like no man has ever suffered, amen, and yet I want to share this meal with you before that happens. Bible said after the meal was over, amen, the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, they went out and sang an hymn. They sang together. And there was a closeness and a sweetness in those moments. And I am so grateful to participate in spiritual communion with Jesus this morning and the symbols of his great love and sacrifice. I love Communion Sunday. I would that more people did. Amen. We would have more people here. But we're glad that you are here today. Some are on vacation. Some are absent for other reasons. But I'm here today. And I'm glad I made it. Because it seems that a lot of things come in the way of these kind of celebrations, and yet they are the most important in all of Christendom. This is last week we had baptism, which is an ordinance left to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. This week we're going to celebrate another ordinance left to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he led in both of these ordinances when he came to John to be baptized. And my wife said when she was watching the baptism service last week, she was thoughtful about thinking about Jesus asking John to baptize him and when he didn't have any sin at all. And yet he set an example for us, didn't he? Can you say amen of humility and meekness? He definitely didn't need to be baptized unto repentance, but he went down into the water just like our dear sister did last week. So we follow Jesus in that baptism. We're following Jesus in the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper or Holy Communion. And I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Ephesians. I want to read to you today and talk to you about his redemptive love. I want to talk to you about redemption. And I want to talk to you about being liberated from slavery. And I want to talk to you about becoming a slave. I don't think you heard me today. I'm going to talk to you about being liberated from slavery, and I want to talk to you about becoming a slave. It's an incredible thing here that we have to challenge us this morning. Amen. I'm so glad for WMAF. If this should go on the air, we're grateful for those that listen in to Sunday Morning Alive over this radio station. This is becoming a headquarters for an outreach ministry, and the outreach is going to continue. I don't know where, how far reaching it will go when God has his way fully in it, but I know that he sends his word to heal, and he sends his word to deliver. That's why I'm excited about bringing the word not only to those who assemble here, but those who are going to hear the word as it goes out from this place. So we have an outlet and an outreach that is God-ordained. It has not been without problems and setbacks. I understand the station had some lightning strikes after we went on the air, and I interpret that as the devil really not being pleased with so much gospel on this station, as well as other good programming, but especially gospel. When lightning strikes in my life in terms of trials and tests and circumstances that distract me and discourage, have the potential to discourage me, I interpret it as Satan fighting what he fears. And he fears this great gospel. This gospel has within it the potential and the power to literally change and transform men and women's lives here and their destiny hereafter. It's the most powerful book in all of the world is the Bible. That's why it's the most attacked book that has ever been written in all of human history. The most attacked individual whose character, whose existence, whose resurrection, whose life has been attacked. Amen. Whose word have been attacked is Jesus Christ. There's no one that has been attacked more than Jesus. And you know what he said? He said, I didn't come to send peace on the earth, but to set a sword, to send a sword and to set at variance. And we're going to find out, you're going to find out that following Jesus, someone asked me, do I have to give up my flaky friends if I start following Jesus? I say, no, you just really start following Jesus and they'll give you up. Can you say, man, if you become a convicting force, it's be uncomfortable to be around you, and it's not because of a deodorant problem, amen? It's because of something else. It's because, and you don't have to browbeat anybody or be condescending or condemning. Just stand up for Jesus, amen. Just stand for him by loving him and serving him, and it will bother some people. You know what I'm saying? Amen. The Bible is a book that bothers people. There was a truck driver came in where I worked, and there was a precious young black man that had given his heart to the Lord. My wife and I met him in Walmart before he quit that job. But a truck driver came in, saw him reading a Bible on his break, picked up the Bible and threw it in the floor and said, why do you even believe that junk? If he had been reading a Playboy, he would have looked on with him. If he had been reading some Hollywood publication, he would have wanted to know what was happening to the latest star, man-made star. It's certainly not God-made star. Somebody said the attention we pay to people who really wouldn't have any notoriety if we didn't give it to them doesn't just say something about how crazy the people are, but how crazy society is. Can you say, man, why do we want to know more about people that their only claim to fame is that they're either rich or famous, or we put them somewhere on a pedestal because we want to look that way. Well, this morning we're going to do different. We're going to put Jesus not on the pedestal, we're going to put him on the throne, amen, in our heart and our life today. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, let's read from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, speaking of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We are truly the blood-bought church, the redeemed. Everybody say, the redeemed. Let me read some more scriptures with redeemed and redemption. I'm not going to read them all because they're all over the New Testament. You can't really get into this work of salvation unless you understand redemption. If you don't understand what has happened to you, I doubt seriously that you are going to make Jesus the true Lord of your life. If you don't appreciate where you were and what happened when he truly saved you, how will you, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice and give your all to him? We're asking people to do things that hasn't been stimulated by presenting to them what has really taken place through God's redemptive love for you. Amen. There's a commandment that says it's the first and great commandment. And you know what it is? We've all broken it at some point. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. With how much? Amen. These are not the leftovers. This is first place. This is priority. This is preeminence. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and your soul and your strength and your mind and your body. Everything is to be committed in love to him. But then after he commands that, because he's God and he's good, amen, then he does something to stimulate that love. You know what he does? He loves us with the greatest love that could ever be given to mankind. The Bible said God commends his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's redemptive love. Everybody say redemptive love. While we were yet sinners. He said God didn't start loving you when you became a Christian. God started loving you while you were yet in your sins. Enough to send his son to go to the cross so that your sins could be forgiven. Amen. And a love like that, God loving the unlovable, God loving the people who don't deserve that love. Amen. How many know what we have received from him is called mercy in the scripture? Amen. We are justified because we've received mercy. We're made righteous because we've received mercy. The thing that kept Jeremiah in the time of judgment from becoming just totally brokenhearted was, he said, I know that his mercies are new every morning. Can you say amen? Great is his faithfulness to his character and nature of love, which compels him to be merciful to them that come to him with a broken and contrite spirit. You come with a broken heart over sin, God is ready to do business with you. If your heart isn't broken over sin, you can never do business with God. But if you come with a broken and contrite spirit, amen, and that's what conviction helps to bring. The Bible said, he that comes to me with a broken and a contrite spirit, I will in no wise turn away. Amen. He will always give mercy to people like that. Mercy isn't deserved. Israel returned because they went into captivity and they really came back primarily not because they loved God initially, but because they found out that not serving him got you into such a world of hurt and a world of pain and a world of slavery and bondage and trouble. But they came back. And when they came back, he didn't care what brought them back. What thrilled God was that they came back. And he said, you return to me, and it doesn't matter what motivated you initially to come back. I'm going to return to you. Prodigal son wouldn't have come back if the party had lasted. But the party didn't last, so the prodigal son came back. Amen. But when he came back with a broken and contrite spirit, saying, I'm not even worthy to be called his son, but I'd rather be a servant in the house of my father than to serve sin anymore, because sin had robbed him of every good thing in his life. He thought it would give him fulfillment. There's a lie about sin. There's a promise that sin makes to fulfill that it cannot come through with. It gives you the opposite. It takes you where you don't want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay. Can you say amen? And it gives you an emptiness instead of a fulfillment when it's said and done. I was a sinner before I got saved. You're not looking at someone that lived in a vacuum. You're looking at someone that served the devil well. And I satisfied the lust of my flesh through sinful practices. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been living for the Lord since I was 21, and now I'm 60. And I'm going to tell you something about this life in Jesus. Amen. The peace that He gives, the fulfillment that He gives, there's not a sin in the world worth trading what I have in my heart and my soul. Hallelujah. There's nothing out there. Amen. If you're fiddling with it, I'm going to tell you something. I've been where you are. I know what is offered to you by the devil. And the Bible said that for a season, your flesh will be satisfied. But it will not last. I'm going to tell you that. It won't last. But let me tell you something about what God gives. What God gives lasts. What God gives fulfills. Hallelujah. I don't look at anyone today with envy in terms of their material possessions or their place or position in life, because I have His peace, I have His joy, and I have His love in my own heart and life. Hallelujah. I have eternal life. I have the not only the peace of God here, but the hope of heaven when this life is over. Amen. So What can the world now offer me to make me any happier, to make me any more fulfilled than what Christ has done for me on the cross? There's nothing out there. Amen. There's no house. Amen. That'll take the place. Amen. Of His happiness in my life. Amen. Homes in themselves can't make you happy. Amen. Automobiles can't make you happy in themselves. Amen. There are people with everything that are getting strung out on alcohol and drugs. And people like the wrestler who had a body that had muscles that I don't even have places. What a tragedy that he would kill his wife. Then he would smother his own son and then would hang himself. And the house he lives in, the house that anybody would love to live in. Amen, with a huge gate and a beautiful new home and a beautiful wife and a beautiful child and a career that was blossoming to where he's making, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars probably per month. These men become millionaires when they get in the television circuit, many of them. But something's wrong in the heart. Sin promises fulfillment, but it can't deliver. It ends up leaving you empty. I remember the song of Jimi Hendrix, amen, that said, one of the songs was called Manic Depression, A Frustrated Mess. And I thought, there's a real uplifting song from the guru of the electric guitar. Amen. I remember Janis Joplin, you know, singing and belting down Southern Comfort, and everybody thought she was one tough broad, and she had money and fame, and before the real feminist movement got started, here was a outspoken, hard-drinking, hard-living woman that could get up and rock just like any man, amen, and yet she dies young of syphilis. Incredible. Amen. What path do we want to follow? Who do we want to follow in life? Can you say, who do we want to pattern our life after? Jimi Hendrix, I went to a concert. He was so high in the middle of the concert before I became a Christian. In the middle of the concert, he shot a bird to the audience and walked off stage. He's depressed. He couldn't go through it again. And finally, he choked on his own vomit because of all the drugs in his body. He couldn't clear his own throat. He talked about, and then I listened after his death to an album that we had, and it played a song that said, "No sun coming through my window, feel like I'm living at the bottom of a grave. No sun coming through my window, feel like I'm living at the bottom of a grave. Won't somebody rescue me, because I don't live today." Amen. The Bible said what God has done for you, He's quickened you. He's given you life who were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. We live, but we're dead on the inside. There's no conscience, amen, that works. A working conscience is not within us. A consciousness of God is not truly within us. He's the man upstairs, if He is up there. Someone said the other day, if there is a God, if there is a life hereafter, isn't it awful to live your life down here without any certainty, without any hope? Amen. You know, I love 1 John because it's full of certainty. Certainty about sin, but certainty about salvation too. He said, I've written these things unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. Can you say amen? Isn't it good to have knowledge of that today? Deep on the inside that you don't fear the hereafter. You don't fear what happens after you die because you know you're not truly going to die. Amen. The body may drop to the floor, but the spirit soars to the presence of God. In the resurrection, the body and spirit are reunited. And until the resurrection, Paul said, there's a spiritual body waiting to contain my eternal spirit until the physical body is raised immortal. Wow. Hallelujah. It's a win-win. Like the soldier during the Civil War that was going through surgery in battleground conditions without the modern surgical procedures and fluids that they can give you. And the doctor told him, said, I'm going to tell you before we give you ether to put you to sleep for just a few minutes while we do this surgical procedure, that there's only a 50-50 chance that you will survive. And the doctor wanted him to know that. And he said, Doctor, I am a Christian. He said, if I wake up, Christ is with me. And if I die on the table, I will be with Christ. He said, go ahead. I am not afraid. I am fully prepared. Listen, the world can't give you that kind of assurance. It can sell you insurance, but it can't give you blessed assurance. Can you say amen? Jesus gives that. The gospel gives that. We're redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory. Christ is mine. How do we respond to that? All to him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Galatians 3:13 said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree. Well, we've been redeemed from sin's consequences and sin's power. We've also been redeemed from the curse, the consequences that sin brings. Amen. The curse of the law. Amen. Isn't it good? Everybody say Romans chapter 7. Here's a man trying to just turn his life around. Here's a man trying to live the letter of the law. He can't do it. He can't pull it off. Amen. The narrative begins in Romans 7. A man trying to find peace and joy and comfort by living out the letter of the law. And he can't do it. He just can't do it. And he says, when I would do good, I would set myself, I'd make a resolution in my heart, amen. I would say, tomorrow's going to be a different day. I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm going to be better. I'm going to do better tomorrow. He said, when I would do good, evil would present itself. I would find that it comes up somehow or another. I'm still a slave, amen, to sin. I try to break free, but I can't break free. And he said, I find a law. There's something going on here that's beyond my own ability to change. There is a law in my own body, in my own members. The spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit. Amen. Best illustration of that I know is a man who ministered in Alaska. He appointed a pastor, and after he left as a missionary, and the pastor pastored a church in Alaska. And he came back to this pastor, and he said, how are you doing in your Christian faith? Amen. And the pastor said, well, I'm doing good. He said, but I have two dogs in me I have discovered, a good dog and a bad dog. One of them prompts me to be good, and one of them prompts me to do evil things. And he said, those dogs fight most all the time. And the pastor said, well, I understand that conflict, but he said, how are you doing? Which one of them wins? And he said, the one that I feed the most. Can you say amen? You can't feed the flesh all week long, amen, on the things of the world and expect me or Jesus or the Holy Spirit to undo on Sunday what you filled yourself with all week long. If you get seriously committed to following Jesus, get you some music you like that exalts him. If you like a twanging country guitar, get you some twanging country gospel, southern gospel. Can you say amen? Amen. If you like something upbeat, get Christ for the Nation, some contemporary worship and praise. Amen. If you want something from down under, get Hillsong. Praise God. That'll bless your soul. If you like the old hymns, get one of the great hymns of the faith. Get what you enjoy. Stick it in your CD player. Feed your soul. Hallelujah. Give yourself the edge. Praise God. Get something in your heart that exalts Jesus Christ. You know what happens? He said, if you acknowledge me in all of your path of righteousness, he'll lead you past the pitfalls of sin. He'll lead you, amen, around the snares of the enemy and break the snare. David said, he's delivered me from the trap that Satan set for me. Amen. He's delivered me from the snare of the fowler. Praise God. And he's broken the snare. Isn't that great? He not only delivers you, but whatever device Satan was using, amen, against your life, he destroys that device and says it's inoperable as far as you're concerned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a gracious God who sets us free. Hallelujah. Amen. He delivers us from the curse of the law. That curse that comes through sin and its consequence, which is death. So Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? Amen. Wretched means someone who has wrestled with someone or fought with someone to the point of actual fatigue where they don't have anything left to fight with. Can you say amen? And then he says, but there is hope. Here's where victory comes from. You know, sometimes we have to fail within ourselves to find that hope, truly find that hope. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? I thank God through Jesus Christ. Amen. And then the thought continues into Romans 8. Everybody ready for this continued thought? Hallelujah. He said, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit now instead of walking after the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Everybody say, we've been delivered from the awful yoke of sin's curse and bondage. Say it with me. We've been delivered from the awful yoke of sin's curse and bondage. In the past, we couldn't help but sin. But now the Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Does it mean that Christians don't ever sin? No, it means that we don't practice sin. We don't cover up for it. If we find ourselves tripped up in it, we go to God. We get forgiveness. We stand up, a clean up, and we go on with Him. It's a good God. There's a new heart in me. And it's not to go out on my wife. There's a new heart in me. And it's not to be disrespectful to my God. There's a new heart in me. Amen. And it is to follow Jesus Christ. I find it difficult sometimes. I have those battles with that good dog and the bad dog. The flesh and the spirit go to war. But I have an edge. Can you say amen? I have a great enemy in Satan. But I have a great ally in Jesus Christ. How about you today? Who the Son sets free is free indeed. We can win this battle. You can't live without the battle, but you can win the battle. And I guarantee you the battle is going to be won based on what you feed the most. I'm astounded at how some people can go weeks without God's house and God's worship and God's word. I'm going to tell you something about them. When you see them again, they will not be victorious. When they come through that door, they'll drag their tail through behind them. They'll be dragged. I don't mean the literal. You know what I'm saying. Like a dog or an animal. You know what I'm saying. Amen. Amen. They'll be dragging in. We'll crank up the song some morning. We wouldn't do that. It would be mean. But we could just start the song in honor of those folks. And when the saints come dragging in, when the saints come dragging in. Listen, that's not the way God wants us to live our life. Why do people keep falling back? Falling away, amen, not being able to stand and enjoy the victories of Jesus Christ, it's because they don't feed their inward man, amen. You know what Job said about the word of God? He said, I've esteemed thy word, O God, more than my necessary food. Can you say amen? I wish everybody would feast on the word of God. Oh, I wish everybody would eat the word of God like they go out on Sunday afternoon to the Golden Corral and eat. Has anybody ever been to Plant City all of us went here for a Christmas banquet. Has anybody here not been to Buddy Freddy's? You haven't been? You got to go. Buddy Freddy's in Plant City. People drive from Tampa. They ride bikes from Tampa and have breakfast at Buddy Freddy's. Buddy Freddy's got good food. It's better than the Golden Corral as far as I'm concerned. Amen. We had a couple that comes down here once a year. Amen. And our brother and sister that just every chance they get, they go to both. Just tell them next time that you haven't been, they'll take you just to get to go. Can you say amen? That's how much they love it. Amen. I wish people would esteem God's word like that. The Bible said, let it dwell in you richly. Why? It's food for your inward man. It's food for your spirit. Amen. Your spirit was designed to feast on God's word. Amen. That David said, you know what David said? He said, Lord, open your mouth wide. God said to David, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. You get a hunger for righteousness, you're going to get a hunger for the word. And you're going to be filled. Can you say amen? Amen. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. You get hungry for righteousness, where are you going to find that? Amen. Where are you going to find that? Where, how do you get this that your soul hungers for now that you're a new creation? You get it from God's word. Can you say amen? All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof and rebuke and for instruction in righteousness. You get hungry for righteousness, you're going to want to be instructed in righteousness. And the word of God gives you that holy instruction. Can you say amen? And what happens when you start walking in the path of righteousness? For his name's sake, you're going to be filled. Amen. Amen. He maketh me to lay down beside still water. He maketh me to lay down. He leadeth me beside still water. He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. Can you say amen? He restores my soul. He leads me where? In a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Isn't that incredible? Our victory is tied in to the exaltation of his name. I don't want you to ever, if you ever are out on a Saturday night driving around, I don't want you to see me going in a bar. Because if it's all right for you as a Christian, it ought to be all right for me. Hello? If it's okay for you, why can't I do it? Would you respect me as a man of God? Would you listen to me preach? Why? Because you'd say he's compromised. Well, the world's not a foolish out there. Can you say amen? They know the difference. It's not holier than thou stuff. It's saying I have a commitment to Christ. I listened to Johnny Erickson talk about her life with her husband. Amazing that a quadriplegic who only has use of her neck and draws these beautiful pictures and has a great radio broadcast. And I'm thinking, you know, this lady, you know, is handicapped from the neck down. There's a lot of Christians have a perfectly working body, but they're handicapped from the neck up. Can you say amen? Amen. I meet people all the time with so much going for them, live in depression. I'm saying, what in the world? And literally, is wrong with you? What is your problem? What is it so great that God cannot solve? Can you say amen? What is it about following Jesus that we find absolutely burdensome? This is a life of freedom. Amen. This is a life of joy. This is a life of victory. Can you say amen? But I don't compromise my faith in Jesus. I'm not perfect. Amen. I have to apologize for things that I do wrong, but I do not plot and plan a path of sin and rebellion because my heart has been changed. Amen. And I know something. And it's not just because I'm a goody two-shoes. No, I found a better life. Do you understand me this morning? I found a better way. Praise God. Hallelujah. I found that the life with my wife in a mutually committed love is the greatest life in all of the world. I know what sin gives you. I know the rush initially that sin gives you, but I know where it ends you, leaves you ended up too. Can you say, man, I know the heartache and the heartbreak of it. This man says, I want to marry you, Johnny. Johnny says, I'm a quadriplegic, and the subject came up of intimacy. How can you and I be husband and wife in the true sense, understanding the conditions? God said, well, you know, we'll deal with that after we get married, but I can't imagine living my life without you. And Johnny says, well, you know, let's pray about this. Well, you know what some of their friends who call themselves Christians said? Why don't you experiment sexually and see if you are compatible before marriage? She said, well, I'd have to compromise my faith to do that. Her husband-to-be, who's a man of the Word of God, said, I would have to compromise my Christian standards to do that. Just imagine being told by Christian brethren to compromise your following of Jesus, to make sure that your marriage worked. Here's what I want to get across. It was such a sweet interview. Because Johnny said, you know, once we made a commitment to each other, once we said we will not sin and we will commit ourselves to one another in love, God began to help them with the details of things that absolutely nobody could do it but God. But God did it. And here's a happily married quadriplegic woman. And here's a happy husband who's glad to be married to her. And they do, in fact, share intimacy. Amen. And they do, in fact, have a child of that marriage. And she's on the radio telling people your marriage can work, your life can work. But it all depends on that commitment to Jesus. And the power for all of that came when they made a commitment to one another. Amen. And the interviewer asked her husband, said, are you committed to, did you think that maybe that he was just wanting to rescue you because no one else would have you in that condition, or he just had sympathy? She said, no, I know he had love. She said, but when he found out all of the challenges, did you think you might lose him physically by leaving you or lose him emotionally? She said, he is a man that is committed to God and committed to his promises and his covenants. That's why I love him so much. When he committed to me, I never thought he would walk away and leave me. The interviewer said, what about emotionally? Staying with you because he's a Christian, but not staying in love with you because of his emotion. She said, no, God has given us a deep love. He chimed in and said, I'm deeply in love with my wife. Listen, if he can love a quadriplegic woman, amen, with all of the challenges that brings, there must be a love that goes on beyond the temporary titillating things that people define as love today. There must be a stronger and more binding love. How would you like to be loved? Somebody that would love you if you got your arms and legs cut off in an accident. How would you like to be loved by somebody that wouldn't quit you if you were dying of cancer and emaciated, but they wouldn't leave your bedside? How would you like to be loved by someone that wouldn't use you and throw you away? Can you say amen? But commit themselves wholeheartedly unto you. How would it feel to be loved like that? That's how God loves you, and that's how we're supposed to love one another. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This is powerful stuff. Revelation 5:9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Everybody say redeemed. We are redeemed neither by power nor truth. We are redeemed by blood. Say it with me. We're redeemed by blood. In effect, by the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ, a sacrifice is a ransom. As to its effect, it delivers those for whom it is offered. And Charles Hodge says, we are delivered by a ransom, and the ransoming is through his blood. We've been set free by the payment of a ransom price, which is specifically stated here as the blood of Jesus Christ. Everybody say the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus took the cup, he said, this is the New Testament in my blood. This is my blood that is shed for the remission of the sins of many. I'm one of those many that he's redeemed, that he paid the ransom for. No word in the Christian vocabulary is held more precious than redemption. For even more than Savior, it reminds the child of God that his salvation has been purchased at a great and personal cost, the suffering and shedding of blood to the death. This is the ransom that Christ paid for us all. And that first Lord's Supper that came to be known as the Last Supper, because he said, I won't eat this with you till we eat it in my Father's kingdom together again. But we are going to eat it again. Can you say amen? It will never be separated forever. But listen to what he said. He said, I have looked forward to and longed to share this meal with you before I suffer. Can you say amen? Before the cross, I want to share intimacy with my children. I want to be close to you.
I want you to know, amen, when it looks like all is lost, I want you to remember when you look back and see what's done at that cross, I want you to remember this meal. And every time you rehearse this, every time you go through it again, amen, I want you to remember, amen, this night. And I want you to remember the love that I have for each of you. Can you say amen? I have longed to eat this meal with you. You know what love Christ longs for today in your life and mine? Amazingly, He longs for personal communion with us. He longs for us to be more than Sunday morning saints, just churchgoers occasionally. He longs to fulfill us by coming into our heart and being the best friend that we ever had. Can you say amen? I love my wife. I'm not looking for someone else. And, you know, people go through the middle age stuff. There was a movie out called The 7-Year Itch. And it was about, men coming to a stage in their marriage where everything isn't exciting as it used to be, and they kind of get the itch to stray. Amen. The world will scratch that itch for you. In fact, they'll create a rash. Amen. How many have found out that sex sells? Amen. It's involved in almost everything that's sold in the marketplace. To titillate, they found out, gets a reaction from people. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with sex in marriage. There's nothing wrong with intimacy in the confines of a commitment, a committed love. Amen. That fulfills and doesn't leave people empty. But it's an incredible time to be living. Amen. We got a rap group somewhere based in the Tampa area, and the ladies rappers are coming out, and it's an incredible thing that now we got ladies going to be just as the title of one album years ago, As Nasty As I Want to Be. Amen. Well, we got ladies that can get down with the men, and I was reading on the internet about a particular group that was coming out and going getting a record contract, and they're going to be just as hardcore as any of the male rappers out there, and they come out and it says they were a group of out-of-closet lesbians and all devout Christians. That was the review. What an incredible time to be living when we can live in a society and in a Christian climate where we can commit sins in the eyes of God, and without coming to Him for His redemption and His deliverance, that we can just keep the sin and claim the cross, keep the sin and claim the Christ. Jesus didn't die so we could remain slaves to sin. Jesus died to set us free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. From the servitude and the slavery of sin. Sin will not have dominion. It means you won't be enslaved by it anymore. Doesn't mean you're above it. It means it doesn't hold you in bondage. If you want to serve God, when He sets you free, you can serve God. But He sets you free to serve God, not free to do your own thing. I heard the true story of a Bible translator telling about his search for a word in the African dialect to translate the English word redemption. Finally, an African working with the translator suggested he use the phrase, "He took our heads out." He took our heads out. See, there was no word when I ministered in Haiti. We assume that all the words in the King James Bible can be translated perfectly into other languages. It can't. When I came he gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon Him not perish, in Haiti, my interpreter, I heard the word unique. In French, the French dialect, the French Creole type of dialect they speak in Haiti because of the French influence years ago. I heard him use the word unique, and I asked him about it. His name was Francois Fenelon. And I said, Francois, his name after a Christian martyr, by the way, Fenelon. Amen. And I asked him, I said, Francois, I said, I heard you say unique. How did that fit into the translation? He said, there is no word in the French Creole language for only begotten. Amen. So I had to use a word in that language that fit what only begotten means. He said, in French, I use the word unique because it means one of a kind, having no equal, no other like Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God's Son. Wow. So in this language, in Africa, for redemption, they use the word, He took our heads out. strange phrase had rich significance for the people in that area. Captured slaves used to be marched through the region en route to the coast in slave ships. They wore iron collars with a chain going from the neck of one slave to that of the one in front of him and behind him. If you saw among the slaves a friend or relative, you could pay the slave price and the master would unlock the iron collar. The man's neck or woman would be freed and they could walk away from slavery. He took their heads out. Can you say amen? Not a bad way to express what God does in redemption. The Lord's Supper is a vivid symbol of our dearly bought freedom in Jesus Christ. We were slaves to sin like Paul in Romans 7, but he took our heads out. We were slaves to Satan. Amen. You're of your father the devil. His works you will do, but he took our heads out. He translated us out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Can you say amen? We were slaves to self and the flesh. But he took our heads out that we no more live our life to the will of the flesh, but we live it to the will of God. That's true freedom. Can you say amen? True freedom is not when you're enslaved to something. True freedom is when you've been set free from it to serve God. Somebody give him praise in this room today. Hallelujah. When Peter compares the blood of Jesus to silver and gold, he calls the blood of our Savior precious. 1 Peter 1, 18-19, for as much as you know you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's been a transfer of ownership. Slavery really isn't over. To those that were under the yoke of a religion that could only condemn you but could never bring freedom from sin slavery, from Satan slavery, from slavery to self. You know, Jesus says to his disciples, the first thing I want you to realize, you're not a debtor to the flesh anymore. You've been set free from that. So deny yourself and take up your cross and come and follow me. And it means to cancel out self. Don't give it another thought. Amen. Amen. He says, love your enemy. Your flesh says, are you kidding me? I want to get them somehow. But I'm a Christian. And instead of doing that, I'm not a debtor to the flesh. That impulse will come, but I'm not a debtor to the flesh. Amen. Amen. I've been ransomed. My head has been taken out of the yoke. Glory be to God. I am not led, amen, captive by the enemy anymore. Isn't that incredible? Oh, I love what he told to Israel in their captivity when he said it's time for your captivity to turn. He said, arise from the dust and cast off your chains, O captive daughter of Zion. Can you say amen? You know what the church needs to do that's still living in the dust, amen, of slavery? We need to rise from the dust. We need to cast off our chains. Praise God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And we need to begin to walk in the glorious liberty of the sons of God. It's there for you. It's there for me. It's there for anybody that will dare to make Jesus the total Lord of their life. Jesus looked out at people. Oh, by the way, legalism is another thing you need to get your head out of. Amen? The Bible said, amen, that don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And in the context, it's talking about people saying, if you do this, you do that, you do the other, just this and this, that, and just the other. You add circumcision to grace, then you can truly be saved. He said, get out of that yoke of bondage. People in that yoke of bondage that religion had actually put on them. He said to them, ho, you that labor and are heavy laden, you with the head in the yoke. Cast off that yoke. Hallelujah. You can't get saved by your works. Nothing you can do. But when you do get saved, your works are going to change. Hallelujah. Because he gives you a new heart. He doesn't leave you enslaved. Praise God. But he said, ho, you that labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit, and you will find rest for your soul. You'll find true freedom. Anybody's got rest in your soul has found true freedom. Can you say amen? For the wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace. There is no rest. That's why there's always a quest for something to satisfy, something to titillate, something. There has to be something more until you truly give your heart to Christ, truly surrender to him, and you say, he's enough. He satisfies the deepest longings of my soul. He sets me free so that I can serve him. Don't think being set free means license to sin. Being set free means you have a reason to serve. He said, I want you to trade yokes. I want you to come out of that yoke that hurts you and harm you and get under the yoke, amen, that brings you rest and peace and life. Romans 6:16 said, whoever you yield your members, servants, to obey, his servants you are whom you obey. And this is a real mistranslation. It's not strong enough. The Greek word rendered servant is not someone who's in a house taking care of your bedding and sweeping your floor. It means slave in the Greek. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, meant a bond slave. I owe a debt to him, and I've committed my life to him, and I do it with joy. I want this in my life. The Bible calls you, because of redemptive love and the blood of Jesus, his purchased possession. Are you comfortable with Christ owning you instead of Satan? Would you rather live in heaven than hell? That's a no-brainer, isn't it? Can you say amen? Would you rather have peace in your heart or constant turmoil? Can you say, there's a way that seems right unto man. But it's not about where you are now. It's about where it's going to lead you. But the end thereof is the way of destruction and death. God said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, covenant people. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you an expected end. Isn't it good to know right now how it's going to end in your life? Amen. And how your life is going to end and where you're going to end up. It's so good to lay my head down tonight and say that childlike prayer in my heart. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know what would happen, Sister Venable, if you drew your last breath here today? You can't buy that, honey. Can you say amen? I've been to hospitals with people dying because of hepatitis, because of needles in their arms. And I've stood in the room with men that had big muscles and tattoos and would tell everybody where to go 6 months earlier. But now the devastating work of a lifetime of abuse has settled in. Amen. Sin will take you, I guarantee you, where you don't want to go. And it'll keep you in a prison where you don't want to stay. Can you say amen? Every promise of sin is a lie from the devil. The thief is a liar from the beginning, and the Bible calls him a murderer. And the Bible said this soul stealer, the thief, he came to steal, he came to kill, he came to destroy. And this Christ that wants you to accept him and serve him says amen, but I have come to give you life and to give it to you like you've never known it, more abundantly. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! 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 Isn't it good to know that Jesus is a man of his word? John Wesley, who really was the head of the Wesleyan Methodist movement, for some, John Wesley said, nobody dies like us Methodists. We die well. What did he mean? We die without fear. We die with hope and expectation. We know what it means to be saved by grace and sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're the redeemed. We've been ransomed. We've also took our head out of death's yoke. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Incredible, incredible to be ransomed by the Lord. So he says, I want you to take my yoke. Whoever you yield yourself, servant to obey, slave to obey, his slave you are, whether sin unto death or God unto righteousness. Amen? Paul, a bond slave of Jesus. I love him. I commit my life to him. I serve him. And I find freedom in that and rest in this. Amen? God really doesn't leave you between yokes. He just takes the bad ones off and asks you. He won't put it on you. He asks you to put the good one on. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit, and you will find what the world is looking for through sin and can't find. You'll find in him rest for your soul. Everybody say, rest for my soul. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you hear the rest? Do you hear the rest in this? When God is your shepherd, you take his yoke. You say, I will follow no one but him. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Here's the rest. Are you ready? He maketh me to lay down in green pasture. I read about that from a shepherd's point of view from Philip Keller. He said sometimes he raised sheep. He was a scientist a very cerebral man, but he became a shepherd for several years, about 8 years, in Africa, I believe it was, or wherever he went, and shepherded sheep. So when he wrote about the 23rd Psalm, he wrote it like David wanted us to understand it. We did a whole radio series and teaching on the shepherd's psalm. What a joy it was to teach that message. But sometimes a sheep wasn't at peace. Oh, dear God in heaven, help us this morning. Everybody say, help us this morning. Did you know peace is supposed to be part of our nature? But we live in a world that can really aggravate you. Can you say amen? Amen. There's no doubt about it. We live in a world. I never honk when I say honk. See a bumper sticker says honk if you love Jesus. Because I don't know what state that sheep is in. They might have forgot the peace they had when they pasted that thing on. Can you say amen? There's no doubt about it. You don't want to hit some people you don't want to bother people on the wrong day. Anybody got up on the wrong side of the bed? Not on the Jesus side, but on the self side? Amen. Amen. There's two sides. You can get up on the Jesus side and be, I got a man over here waving at me. Amen. If he had a banner, I think, did it happen this morning? Or, okay, thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Just probing you. We'll start the altar call now. I don't know. Praise God. Amen. We've hit something. We'll finish this. Amen. We're supposed to be people. Listen, true rest and peace comes when we take his yoke on us. Amen. We're free to serve. When he brought them up out of Egypt, why did he set them free from Egypt's bondage? Said that they might worship me in the wilderness. Can you say amen? I didn't set them free to go out and do their thing. I set them free to serve me, because real freedom is when you take his yoke upon you and you say, I'm going to deny myself and I'm going to follow Jesus. I am free. My head is out of that yoke, praise God. I used to do all the sinful things that my flesh prompted me to, but now I've got a new master and I love him and I've taken his yoke to replace that yoke. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is good today. Philip said sometimes a sheep would not lay down in those ancient lands. And because of his agitation, it stirred all the other sheep up, because they said, so, what's wrong? What's wrong? We see no threat. That sheep was having a problem with panic or fear or agitation. So the shepherd would go up to that sheep, begin to stroke that sheep and press gently down on its back and speak words of consolation. And after a while, that sheep would relax, and he maketh me to lie down in green pasture. And say, why am I fretting with my good shepherd watching my back and this great pasture to feed upon? See, some people are missing both the green pasture and the good shepherd because of nothing less than being self-consumed and focused on oneself. Shepherd saying, won't you lay down and eat this green grass? My children would take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit. They would find rest for their soul. And I would send them forth in my peace as sheep among wolves, and yet they would not perish, for I will keep them from the evil one. And I will set them in a high place. For in the day of trouble, they will have the words of consolation. They will be the peacemakers. For the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, in them that make peace, saith the Lord. Scripture said, great peace have they which love thy law. That's taking his yoke. What was his yoke? Meek and lowly. He said, I don't do anything of myself but what I see my Father do. I'm under His control. I'm not a free agent doing my thing. I'm here to serve Him. And this meat satisfies my soul, liberates my life from selfishness and from sin. What a liberated life it is to serve God. Amen. Get them out of Egypt so they can what?
Do their thing.
No, get them out of Egypt so they can worship me and serve me in the wilderness. Can you say amen? Get rid of the old yoke that of bondage and take on the yoke that He said is easy. For my yoke is easy. Everybody say His yoke is easy. And His burden?
Free from the flesh and the devil. Hallelujah.
His burden is light. When I say free from the flesh, I don't mean you don't have a battle with it. I mean you feed the Spirit and you win that battle. Amen? So today, if something's got you yoked, God wants to get your head out. Amen? Amen? He's redeemed you so you could get your head out. But after you get your head out, He wants you to put it in another yoke. His yoke. So that the devil can't pull you back. Can you say amen? Say, I can't be sold into slavery anymore because I'm already a slave of this master. You can't sell me on the open market, Satan, to sin and its bondage, because I belong exclusively to this master. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't it great to be a servant of Jesus Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to receive communion today. How many are glad that you've been set free? All right, here's God's word to you today. Here's God's word to you today. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, here's that taking His yoke, that you present your body unto Him a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Amen. That you be not conformed to this world, pressed into its mold, put back into its servitude, but that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or live out, flesh out, and walk out, exemplify what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Can you say amen? God wants His people walking in the glorious liberty of the sons of God, serving Jesus with peace in our heart, rest for our souls. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The Bible said literally, can you ever feel God? See what God wants you to hear His words of consolation. He wants you to feel His very touch of His manifest presence as He just slowly pushes on your back. We got a dog, we got an old dog that came to live with us. Her name is Sophie. Sophie came to live with us because she was a lost dog. And if they had put her in one of the, you know, one of the pounds or wherever, she would have been killed because she's too old and just, she's the sweetest thing you ever saw. I mean, everybody meets her just wants to hug on her. We have aggravate the dog times sometimes at night because she moves very little. And we both lay down on the floor so she'll come lay down between us, and then we aggravate the dog. She's so old and she don't have hardly any energy, but I like to grab her like this. She's 80 pounds. And she's, you know, I grab her like this and I tug on her like we're wrestling, and she just. And dogs do smile. You ever seen a dog smile? Look at them sometimes. It just goes back like that. And ears are flopping, and I say, all right, it's time to aggravate the dog. And it's love is what it is, you know. And we look in those eyes, there's not much there to tell you the truth. Amen. She knows one trick. And she's got it down good. Playing dead. Oh, Lord. But she wants to be where we are every minute. Don't matter where you go, she comes, she lays at your feet. She just lays at your feet, lays at your feet. That old dog, and she's so meek. She's just sweet. She's good for nothing, amen. But she's just so very sweet. And we just, you know, we had to take her in. We had to take her in because nobody would want her. So we took her in. And we love that old dog. You know, she's just a good old dog. And we just love being around her. And she just loves just laying for hour after hour after hour. And you walk by and look at her, and she opens one eye and the tail goes, you know, like that, and you know, she's saying, and the other night, she, you know, we you could tell she's really taken to my wife and I, because the other night, laying there between us, we were just laying there still after we aggravated her enough. You know, she still don't do like, she just lay. But she gave me two licks over here. And then she turned her head over there and gave Pamela two licks. And we said, now this is good. The dog is responding. You know, the dog is not, she's just not an empty-headed old dog that just has no feelings at all. She's responding to us loving her. She's responding to us taking her in. And boy, when she started licking our face like that, it's like, and she don't do that. That's just not her. She's just not that kind of dog. But boy, when she did that, it's like, yeah, that's why we feeding you, you old mangy dog. That's why we bathe you. Not mangy. She's not mangy. But, you know, she's just sweet dog. Amen. But when she loved us back, when she showed affection back, that's it. In times of storm, the dog runs to us. Up under you. She's got to be touching you. She's got to be, she knows where to run. Every time, yesterday was a lightning-y, thundery, stormy day. And the dog was up against Pamela, always wanting to be touching, so close enough to touch. Listen, this is what the shepherd does for his sheep. He comes to us. He wants us to find rest for our soul. Take his yoke upon you. Learn of him. He's meek and lowly in spirit. You'll find that he'll be there with you. He'll speak words of consolation to your heart. He will put his hand of love upon you. And you can lay down in green pasture. Because you've got a good shepherd. And he'll take you to green grass. You have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. His provision, his protection brings you peace. There's nothing like it in all of this world. Can you say, man, nothing like that in all of this world? And how the church needs to find total fulfillment, total peace in Jesus Christ. You find it by learning about him and then following him, taking his very yoke upon you. So in this communion today, let's love him back enough to thank him for all the yokes that he's taken our head out of. But let's put our head in the yoke that he asked us to take. Can we do that? And become true followers of Jesus.